Introduce our visiting guest preacher, Brother Paul Dabdu. Brother Paul has been a blessing and an inspiration to our church for many years. When I first became pastor in 2004, I had been a part of Slidell Baptist Seminary, and how I came to that was by eBay, of all things. Most of y'all have heard this for many years, but a few years back in 2001 and 2002, I was associate pastor up at New Beginning Baptist Church, and I was teaching on Wednesday night the Minor Prophets. So I Googled about what I might could find, and I wound up on eBay, and I typed in Minor Prophets to look up some resources, and it came up with something about Paul Duba Dabba Yabba Doo or something. I didn't know what it was, and I said, hey, that looks pretty good. And then I found out there were more cassette tape by this same seller, and lo and behold, it was a correspondence seminary. And I messaged her, and I talked back, and I said, well, do you think you could just sell me the whole kit and caboodle for one money and just shut all the auctions down? And she said, yeah. And I had called down there to the seminary and heard that wonderful voice that would so much become a part of my life. And I started. And Paul had mentioned on the website that he comes and that he would do revival. The size of the church didn't matter, and he wasn't in it for the money. So he came, and he from 2004 till now, he's been coming every year, except for last year. We had God made sure it was this year. So Paul has stood by me, and he stood by the Word. He stood by the Lord. He stood by the old King James Bible and by God's people. And when we had the sign issue, he was right there beside me. When Mama died, he was right there with me. Even though he wasn't here, he was here in spirit with us, him and his dear wife, Miss Lori. So these are not guests, they are family. And so, Brother Paul, come break the word and have fun.
All right.
Preach it. Amen. Shout the corn, brother. Amen.
We'll have a good time. Amen.
Hopefully. Amen. Appreciate that. Brother Craig is absolutely right. Can y'all hear me all right? Good, good. He came and preached a revival for us a couple of months ago, and our church really enjoyed it, and we appreciate you coming and stirring up our church. And I don't have too many revivals in our church. I'm very picky about who I have, but Brother Craig is one that we've enjoyed every time. And, of course, you all are like our church. You know, you're used to your pastor. You know, just like they would say they're used to Brother Paul at Ridge Memorial. But they really enjoyed having you. I guarantee you that. And so thank you all so very, very much for having us once again. It would have been, I think, 14 years, I believe, if we hadn't had the interruption last year. Hurricane sometimes where we live. And then the death of one of our church members. So, but looked like this time it worked out okay. Amen. So we appreciate that very much. And God is using Craig all over the United States. After meeting him, I found out his gift of teaching. So we were able to get courses on CDs. It goes all over the United States. This new course on Greek appreciation, 101, I was a little skeptical at first. I said, well, I don't know about putting a Greek course in our seminary. Well, then I listened to what he had put together. I said, let's give it a try. And already we've got two students. We got one before we came in Champaign, Illinois. And another, the first one was in Ocala, Florida. So it looked like this course is going to begin to go out nationally. So we appreciate it. I'm glad we did put it on. I'm glad you did it.
Amen.
Amen. All righty. I want you to open your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I appreciate my wife. She comes to all the revivals that we do, and we appreciate her right there by our side. Amen.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Father, help us now to be a blessing to the great folks here at Danieltown Baptist Church. We thank you, Father, for this time together. Now we ask that you meet with us this morning, that every sermon will be especially needed, and especially for the people that come, whether they be lost or saved. And I realize, Father, most of the sermons for revival are to the saved,
because you have to have something in you to be revived. So I pray, Father, that our people here, the people here at this church, will be revived this week. And Father, every sermon will be, there'll be something in there that will be needed for the folks here that come. So bless, Father, the challenge that we're going to bring before the congregation today in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, very familiar passage of Scripture. Look at verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. I want you to pay attention to verse 2. A time to be born and a time to die. Everyone in this room has experienced a time to be born. You have a birth certificate someplace. I mean, you wouldn't be here if you hadn't experienced that time to be born. But the Bible also says there's a time to die. Now, no one in this room has ever experienced that. There's no one that can stand up this morning and say, "Preacher, I've experienced it. I know what death is like." No, you can't do that. No one in here has a death certificate yet. But every man and every woman and every young person in this room has a date that God has set aside for all of us to pass away. But I want to ask you some questions this morning and challenge you if you've been saved. And I want you to think about some things. What if you knew you had one more week left? What if God told you you've got one more week left to live? You knew it. You knew from today, by this time, next Sunday, you would have been greeted with death. How would you handle your life? What would change? What would be different in your thinking? How would it change you? I guarantee you, somebody today, I'm not saying in this church, is in their last week. It could be that somebody in here is in their last week. But if you knew it, you see, ladies and gentlemen, you don't know it. Nobody has told you that you have one more week left to live. Right. Nobody has. But I guarantee you one thing, there will be a time in your life when you will have one last week. It will be your last week. Now, what if you were in your last week and knew it? What would you do? Well, number one, could you nail down your salvation? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've been saved?
Amen.
Can you go back to the place where you're not joined a church, not got religion, not turned over a new leaf, but you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, "Well, Brother Paul, why do you say that?" Because a lot of times, if you ask somebody, "Have you been saved?" Can you nail it down? They'll take you back to their baptism.
Yeah, right.
Or they'll take you back to the Lord's Supper. Or they'll take you back to their denomination. Well, I want you to know that's not salvation.
Amen.
I hope that you can nail it down that there was a place where you realized you were a sinner and that you were lost and on your way to hell and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. So that's the most important thing.
Amen.
If you had one more week left to live and you knew it, could you, before we say anything else in this sermon, nail down your salvation experience? You say, "Preacher, that's not a problem. I can do it." Well, then secondly, do you know anyone that's not ready? Let me ask you something. How about your children? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your child has been saved? Mamas, those children that you brought into this world, that you suffered pain and labor to bring into this world, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they've been saved? What if you had one more week left to live? You see, most people think they don't have a week left. They think they've got 30 more years. Most of you won't take this sermon very seriously. But I guarantee you, somebody in this part of the country, somebody in Danieltown, no doubt has one more week left to live, and they don't know it. If you have one more week left to live, if you knew it, you'd try to get your children saved. I guarantee you, if you just had one more week left to live and you knew somebody that wasn't saved, you wouldn't worry about whether they'd cuss you out or not.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I guarantee you, you would not know. You would not worry about them calling you a name. You wouldn't care. Because you know you have one more week left to live, and you'd make sure that family member has been saved. There's some of you in this room, you love your family. You love your children. You love your parents. You love your grandparents. But they've never been saved. But you won't talk to them about that because they're going to laugh at you. They're going to cuss you out. They're going to make fun of you. I guarantee you wouldn't feel that way.
That's right.
If you had one more week left to live and you knew it.
That's right, brother. Yeah.
Thirdly, is there anyone that you have something against? You say, preacher, but I got time to work that out. No, you don't. I am talking seriously. If you knew that you had 7 days left to live, is there anyone that you have something against? You would not have any problem saying to them, well, I'm sorry. You know something? Most people say, I ain't going to get right with them because they hurt me. They hurt my feelings, and I don't care about it. I'm not going to get that thing right. That's because you think you got another 20 years, sir. Ma'am, you think you got another 15 to 30 years and you're not going to worry about it. I guarantee you ought to live your life as if you know that you have one more week left to live, and if you knew it, you wouldn't care.
That's right.
That the fact that they hurt your feelings. You know what I recommend this morning? Put the searchlight on you, on your heart, and ask yourself, do you see anybody that you've got something against, or somebody that hurt your little feelings, and you just won't get that thing right? You say, preacher, there'll be a cold day in hell today that I'll make that thing right. Well, I want you to know you don't want them to go to hell, or if you have something against them, you don't want to die in that condition. First of all, if you have something against somebody and they don't know it, but you got these hard feelings in your heart, but they don't know it, then go to God with it. But if they know it, you have an obligation to go to them and make it right.
Amen.
I don't care if they're at fault. Let me tell you something. That's the trouble today with Baptist churches, that we have people that they say, preacher, they owe me an apology. And I want you to know that's a sorry excuse for being saved. That's a sorry excuse for you to have. If you have something against somebody or somebody has something against you, get it right, because you're going to wish you did when you're in your last week. But we're approaching this thing as if you know it. What if you knew you had 7 more days? Would it improve your prayer life? You know something? Most people, most of their prayer time is when they have their meal or when they go to bed at night. We don't spend much time in prayer, and I tell you why praying is work. It is. It's work. And if you had one more week left to live, you would find time to talk with God. I know I would. I guarantee you'd spend some time with your Heavenly Father, because you know in 7 days that heart that's beating right now is going to stop. Let me ask you this. If you knew you had one more week left to live, would you miss any of the revival this week? I bet you wouldn't. If you knew that by this time, next Sunday, that you're going to die, you'd be here for every time the church doors are open this week. And I guarantee you, you would not miss, you would not plan anything else, because the most important thing would be for you to be here for every service. You say, well, Brother Paul, I got plans. You throw those plans out the window. I guarantee you, if you knew you had one more week left to live. You know what you would be saying? If you knew you had one more week left to live, I hope Brother Paul preaches 3 hours. You say, Brother Craig, those of you that complain if it goes past 12, you'd get out of that attitude.
Yeah.
You say, preach us, Brother Craig. Come on, preach us a little bit longer. Come on, I got one more week left to live. You see, the attitude would change if we only knew that we had a week left to live.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. If you had one more week left to live, would you rather be at work or at church? Now, hang on now. You say, well, preacher, I might get a phone call and they'll tell me to come in to get me, make some overtime. I'll have to miss church. If you knew you had one more week left to live, I guarantee you wouldn't care about that overtime. You'd be here during the time of revival, or you would be here on a Sunday at a regular church service. You say, well, preacher, they're going to tell me if I don't come to work, you're fired. You'd tell them what they can do with that job, I guarantee you. Amen?
Amen.
You wouldn't care about that job. You want to be here in the house of God where you can be around Christian friends, where you can be around where God's people are. You want to be in the house of God where you can hear some old-fashioned preaching.
Amen.
Go with me so far. Somebody say amen in here.
Amen.
Good, good. Somebody talk to me every now and then. I like that. Let me tell you something. You don't know for sure, but I guarantee you, one day, you will be in your last week. Now let's change things for just a minute. We are now in the final hour of your life. You're there. Don't have to worry anymore. You're there. You've got 60 minutes left to live, and you're at that point in your life. Let me ask you men something in here. If you had one more hour, you were in your last hour, who would you want by your side? Some hoochie-coochie dancer? Amen? Is that who you want by your side? Who would you like to spend that last hour with you? Some of you fellas in here, you wouldn't even ask for Britney Spears, I guarantee you. You wouldn't care about that. I don't think you would. I don't know you guys. I've got some guys in my church. They might. Amen. Some of the older guys in my church, they told me one time, what a way to go. But I want you to know the average man would not want some pretty girl that's not their wife to be by their side if they had one more hour left to live. The truth is, who would you rather have by your side if you had one more hour left to live? You want somebody to be there? Somebody tell you a dirty joke? Somebody to say something nasty? Or would you like to have somebody that loves this book right here?
Amen.
No problem. You'd rather have a Bible-believing preacher or a Bible-believing friend if you had just that, you were in your last hour. If you were in your last hour, would you rather be at a beer party? Or would you rather be at a cottage prayer meeting? You say, preacher, these cottage prayer meetings make kind of boring to me. I don't know. I don't like to go to them. I guarantee you, if you had one more hour left to live and that was your choice, you'd give anything to be at that cottage prayer meeting. You see, our life, we don't think like that. We think we got plenty of time. There's some of you sitting in this room right now. You don't think I'm talking to you. Must be somebody else in here, but preacher, I'm not in my last hour. You don't know for sure.
Amen.
I've been by the side of a lot of people that thought that, and they died within that hour. Not often, but sometimes it happens. Let me ask you something. If you had one more hour left to live, and you had the choice of someone outside of your family, if you had a choice between these two people to sit next to your side in your last hour, would you rather have Hillary Clinton or Donald J. Trump?
Amen.
I guarantee you, you'd take Dr. Trump. Amen?
Amen. That's it.
I would. It's quiet in here. Amen.
Yeah.
I know you. Now, if it was George W. Bush, probably most of you would want that. Eh? Amen. But I guarantee you, nobody in here want old Hillary Clinton next to them. I wouldn't. Amen. I'd rather have a man at least that's praise,
yeah,
or somebody that believes the Bible.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm trying to say, if you had one more hour left to live and you had a choice but between these two to sit by your side, I don't think you'd think about it twice.
That's right.
Where would you want to spend that last hour? A fishing trip, or would you rather be in church? I'm trying to get you to think. Would you rather be in Hawaii right now or at Danieltown Baptist Church?
Amen.
You say, preacher, I'd give anything to go to Hawaii. But I guarantee if you were in your last hour of your life, you're in the right place you'd want to be right
Amen.
Now. You may not think that during the week. It may not be a big deal to you coming in the house of God. It may not be a big deal this week coming to revival. But if you knew you were in the last hour of your life, you are glad you're in this church right now.
Right.
Which songs would you rather hear if you were in your last hour? Some song by Kenny Chesney? Or some song, hymn that's sung in this church?
Amen.
I mean, who would you rather hear sing? Conway Twitty or Brother David in this special here?
Amen.
Amen. That's what I was going to say. Glory to God. I'm trying to get every man and every woman here thinking. How about you young people in here? I know you're young. You figure you got another 60 years. But what if you were in your last hour of life? I'm talking about people 25 and under. And you had one more hour left to live. Would you rather be by the side of Lady Gaga or somebody in this church that loves the Bible?
Amen.
Got quiet. Don't answer me, kids, but I guarantee you, one day you're going to be in your last hour.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say, you older people, I'm talking about you older men in here, you older women in here, I'm talking about 60s and under, who would you rather be by your side and hear sing? The Rolling Stones, I can't get no satisfaction? Or would you rather have a bunch of people from Danieltown Baptist Church singing Victory in Jesus?
Amen.
See what I mean? Amen. Y'all with me so far? I know this is one of those simple sermons, but I'm trying to get you to think, because one day you are going to be in your last hour. All right, how about this question? Who would you want beside your bed in your last hour? Your wife or your boss? I was just fixing to say. Well, you can't tell the difference most of the time, amen? Oh, that Brother Marco, he beat me to it, man. You ought to be in the pulpit, amen? Let me tell you something. That wife that's been by your side all of these years or some famous actor, I guarantee you, hands down, it would be that little lady that's stuck by your side all of these years. Amen? You'd want that little woman that's put up with you. Amen? My wife's put up with me, and I don't know how she does it, but I thank God, honey, that you do. Amen? I'd rather have that woman by my side than some famous actor. Amen? Let me ask you young people something in here. If you were in your last hour, would you rather have your parents next to you or some rock group?
Yeah.
You say, preacher, I like the rock group. You wouldn't in that last hour.
That's right.
You would not want one of those famous singers, I guess. I don't even know all their names. These rock groups. You wouldn't want that. You'd want to have mama and daddy by your side. I guarantee you. But I guarantee you this, that I can't understand where people have their priorities sometimes.
Yeah.
You'd want somebody close to you, your mom or dad or Justin Bieber. Amen. I'm trying to get you to think right here. I guarantee you, you're thinking about your closest people that you love, you'd want by your side.
Amen.
Let me ask you this. Church members, would you rather have in your last hour Joel Osteen or Creighton Loveless? No problem. Or would you rather have Pope Francis or Brother Paul? Amen. You see what I'm getting at here? We don't think like that. I mean, we think, well, I'm going to be in my last week one day. I know that preacher. I've accepted it. But now, You're in your last hour. Hey, the final hour has just changed to 5 minutes. Y'all with me so far?
Amen.
Everybody listening? You have 5 minutes left to live. Here you are. Here you are in this room. I mean, your heart is still beating right now, but it's getting weak. The rhythm is out of kilter. It's not pumping like it usually does. You are in your last 5 minutes, and you could feel in your chest something. It's getting weak. The heart's skipping beats. The rhythm is not normal. Your breath is a little bit more difficult. Let me ask you something. As you get ready in your last minute of death, who's going to be there? Well, number one, some angels are going to be there.
Yeah.
Amen. The 16th chapter of the book of Luke tells us that when Lazarus died, the angels came and carried him into Abraham's bosom.
Amen.
Now they don't go to Abraham's bosom, they go straight to heaven, absent from the body to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
So every man and every woman, when that heart stops and you're saved, first of all, you're not going to die by yourself. If you're alone in that room when your heart stops beating, you will first of all have some angels, at least two, because it's plural. I don't know how many angels are going to be there, but there's at last two that's going to carry you out of your body into the presence of God. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
I like that about death. Death is an absent from your body. You're in your last minute. You're fixing. If you lived 80 years or 90 or 40 years, you're going to be absent from the body that you have right now. But don't worry about it. If you're saved, number one, the angels will be there. Secondly, Jesus is going to welcome you home. Remember when Stephen died? The Bible says that when he looked up, the heavens were open. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father.
Amen.
I believe that we can learn from that, that every man and every woman that's saved, Jesus welcomes you home.
Amen.
My Bible tells me in the book of Psalms that God says, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints.
Amen.
You know what that means, Brother Craig? Precious in the sight. God looks at every one of his saints. Everyone that's saved when they pass away.
Amen.
To us, death isn't precious.
Right.
But in God's sight,
Amen.
It is. Hey, watch it now. Watch it now. You're in your last minute of death. You're there. It's about to happen. All of a sudden, when it happens, your new life begins. All of a sudden, this old body that we have, we're going to shed it off. Absent in the body. And all of a sudden, you're in the presence of the Lord. All of a sudden, you have a brand new body.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 1 and so forth, says we have a body in heaven prepared, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You have something that will take you over. Hey, watch it now. Watch it, church. Watch it. Don't go to sleep on me.
Amen.
I'm trying to tell you right now, you'll never die. I'm talking about you. What you see right now. I'm talking about you, that you feel right now, your life. That life you feel in that body that's housed your soul all these years is going to suddenly leave this body, and all of a sudden, you, your life, you'll not see blackness. You'll see life from here immediately and your new body in heaven. My Bible tells me in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2 that Jesus, we're going to have a body like Jesus. Perfect. No old people in heaven. Everybody's young, amen. Let me tell you something. We're going to have a body like Jesus, and you buried a 90-year-old like my father-in-law. Let me tell you something. He ain't old in heaven.
Amen.
He's young, equivalent to the body like Jesus. No wrinkles, no weakness. Everything about that person's young. Not only that, but if some of you ladies in here, maybe you gave birth to a child and you lost that baby, or maybe before that baby was born, you might have lost that child. By chance, I'll just ask the question, has any of you ladies in here ever lost a child in birth? Yes, I see, Miss. No, no. Anybody at all? How about, did you ever bury a baby or a young one? All right. When that happens, some people it has happened to, when they go to heaven, they won't see a baby. They will see a full grown person. Amen. Whether it be a boy or a girl, be a full grown man. There are no such things as little babies in heaven. We got to change their diapers. Let me tell you something. Every person that's ever buried a child, that child is waiting for you. If that child was below the age of accountability, and don't let some stupid preacher tell you that some 5-year-old or some 4-year-old's in hell. They're safe until they realize they are a sinner, lost and on their way to hell. They immediately go to heaven. And if you've ever buried a child, or you know someone that has, or you buried a grandchild before you ever got to enjoy them, when you go to heaven, it will be a full-grown person. Amen. With a body like Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Let me tell you something. You'll have a new life. Because on earth you had enough sense to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
Something else, however, if you're not saved, and I want to believe everybody in here is saved, but a couple weeks ago a man walked forward in our church, probably in his 70s, we thought was saved. He said, I want to get saved. I'm saying sometimes you bring this up, and there may be someone in here that's been playing church. They've been acting like they're saved, good performance.
Yeah.
But they've never been born again. If you die, your last hour, now your last 5 minutes, then your last minute, and you feel your chest beating but out of rhythm, all of a sudden you can't catch your breath. And all of a sudden you feel the life leaving you, and you're not saved. I guarantee you what will greet you is a bunch of demons to drag your soul to hell. How do you know that, preacher? Well, I've got one lady in my church that has been my church member for 20-some years, told me, I give you permission to use this. But my uncle, when he passed away, he wasn't saved. He was screaming, get the demons away from my feet. I feel the fire burning. Get them away. Get them away. Get them away. I don't want them around. And he died. And those demons dragged his soul to hell.
Right.
What a opposite. If you're saved, the angels, easy going, get your soul, eases you into heaven. I don't know how quick it takes from earth to heaven. Absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. That's pretty quick. But if you're not saved, I don't know how quick the demons will drag your soul into a burning hell, but I think it's just as fast. If you're not saved, what is the matter with you?
Amen.
What is the matter with you? Who taught you that? Who taught you that you got plenty of time? One day you're going to be in your last week. You may not believe it, but you will be. And then you're going to be in the last hour. Then you're going to be in your last minute. And once you die, no opportunities ever again to be saved. God brought you here. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He paid the penalty for your sins. Every sin you've ever committed in your life can be washed under the blood of Jesus Christ. Every sin. You say, preacher, but the reason why I'm not saved, you don't know some of the things I've done in my life. I guarantee you one thing. Every sin, everything you've ever done, all sin is bad. We've all committed terrible sins. But I guarantee you all of those sins will be gone. You'll be set free. Your record will be clean.
Amen.
Quit holding on to your past.
That's right.
Don't let your past damn your soul to hell. And if you're here this morning and you are playing church, you say, "Preacher, I don't cuss. I'm a decent person. I'm as good as some of those church members. I even act better." You may. You might. I know some good lost people. They don't cuss. They don't drink. They don't tell lies. They're honest. But when it comes to being saved, they don't want any part of that. Maybe there's no one like that here. But if you happen to be one, like that man was a couple weeks ago at Ridge Memorial, you come up.
Amen.
In just a moment, we'll have an invitation. But this message was primarily to the saved. One day, you will be in your last week. How would that change your life? You know the best thing to do? Change it now.
Amen.
Start believing that you're not wasting your time putting God first. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed.